David Cobb is a lawyer from Texas who was the 2004 Green Party candidate for president. We spoke with him from Cleveland via Skype Saturday. What's the view like from where you are?
Well, let me tell you, it's a hyper-militarized, highly corporatized city. There is no doubt that we are living in corporate-occupied territory here in Cleveland, Don. And I'm here representing Move to Amend, a multiracial, multi-ethnic coalition of groups and individuals who are building a mass movement to abolish the illegitimate court-created concept of corporate constitutional rights and get money out of elections. And one of the things that's very interesting is watching how people across the political spectrum, liberals, conservatives, moderates alike, are reacting to how corporatized this political convention is and the disgust they have with the wealthy and powerful here. It's a very interesting phenomenon, Don.
And, you know, the city that you're in now, as militarized as it is, used to be run by Dennis Kucinich, didn't it?
That's right. Dennis was the boy mayor, and he got his start in his 20s as a city council member and then mayor. Thanks to Dennis Kucinich, the city of Cleveland actually was able to have publicly controlled electrical power generation and distribution. Now, however, it is controlled by corporate Democrats. So it's a different city than it once was.
And they shoot like young children that are playing outside like 3 seconds after
they shoot young children, specifically young black children. Absolutely. I mean, there is a horrible legacy here. However, I can also tell you there is a level of resistance that I'm encountering. For example, today, all day, I participated along with many others in a People's Convention for Justice and Peace. And this brought together people who were working on environmental activism, social justice, racial justice, economic justice issues, creating a highly participatory process by which people are coming together to draft platform planks to say we reject both the Democratic and Republican Party processes and platforms and are making a people's platform. And I got to tell you, Don, that Pacifica listeners would be very impressed by that people's platform process.
Why don't you give us a couple of the kernels that are sort of being floated there?
Well, for example, political justice. There is a call for an entire new constitutional framework because the current constitution is a property rights document. And instead, we need a new legal system that protects and enshrines human rights and the rights of Mother Earth and the rights of nature. There is a call to abolish corporate constitutional rights. There is a call to have access to the ballot and to the debate process for all political parties and independent candidates. There is a call for full publicly funded elections. There is a call for instant runoff voting and proportional representation. There is a call to end felony disenfranchisement because of the racist nature of both our criminal justice system and elections. What I just described to you, Don, in a thumbnail sketch is one of the planks, the political justice plank, that would actually take seriously the idea that the United States of America is supposed to be a democratic republic. If that were true, then our elections should actually be democratic. So that platform process, it took all day for activists and social change agents coming together to grapple together, but that participatory process came forward with a series of demands that we are now going to be taking into the electoral process. In other words, we're no longer trying to lobby elected officials, no longer chasing after candidates. Now we're actually building our own set of demands, taking it to them, and telling candidates for office and elected officials, from now on, you have to respond to us. We're not responding to you anymore.
Along those lines, one of the things that is obviously different this year here in the United States and really across the world. I mean, people have been in the street in France, for example, for many months. You're seeing, you saw Brexit, you see all these things happening all over the world. But here in the United States, you've had the working class basically on its feet, stumbling, trying to find its way in the dark, perhaps, but represented fully in the electoral process behind both Trump and Sanders. And the response from the elites to tamp it down everywhere they can. A unity of the Republican and Democratic establishment behind Clinton, Sanders being forced to, essentially endorse Clinton and go hat in hand in order to have a place at the podium at the Democratic convention, despite exit polls saying he should have actually had a first ballot victory. There are people that are looking at the way the Greens dealt with what happened to Ralph Nader in 2000 and really what actually happened in the year 2000 and saying that the safe state strategy in 2004 may have been appropriate then, but perhaps there should be an unsafe state strategy now where the Greens and progressives target Hillary Clinton in swing states. What are your thoughts on that? Because you were the presidential candidate.
Well, first of all, I want to say, Don, as the 2004 candidate, I actually ran hard and ran everywhere.
I know you did. I was talking to you. I know you did.
States, yeah. But I just want to correct it, that I ran hard and ran everywhere. In fact, evidence of that is that I campaigned in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, yep, and in Ohio, where I am physically right now. Yep. And remember, especially in Ohio, that I was on the ballot and was able to file a recount in Ohio. And if not for the Green Party, George Bush would have not only stolen an election, but nobody would have known it.
That's
at
right.
least because the Green Party was on the ballot, we were able to fight back and build an election integrity movement. Now, let me circle back to this election cycle and tell you this. I believe that it is an opportunity for a growth spurt for both the Green Party and the Libertarian Party like we have never seen before. What we know is, and you are correct, that both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders both represent insurgent campaigns within the existing political party structure. The leadership of both of those parties did everything they could to undermine, delegitimize, and squash and suppress those insurgent candidates. Of course, Trump ultimately prevailed. Bernie Sanders almost did. In fact, I think that it's fair to say that Bernie Sanders had the Democratic Party's nomination stolen from him by a combination of party hacks and the corporate media. But at the end of the day, both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump represent something, a profound dissatisfaction with politics as usual. And that is an example of how the two-party system is beginning to crack before our eyes, Don. You and I have had this conversation before. The two-party system is not going to be able to survive, and I think that it's coming to its end. Because here's the second point I want to make about this, and that is that as we watch Hillary Clinton, the corporatist plutocrat that she is, I actually think she may be the last gasp, because I think that the various movements that exist in this country, and I mean Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, Move to Amend, the climate justice movement, the racial justice movement broadly, the calls to abolish the prison industrial complex. I could go down the list of all these movements that you know, because you're a historian and you follow these things, Don. What you know is that these things are more acute. There are more people on the move. There are more people becoming conscious and in motion than you and I have ever seen in our lifetime. Here's the kicker. Those movements cannot be contained and controlled within the existing Democratic Party. At the end of the day, those movements are either going to destroy, transform the Democratic Party as it exists, or they're going to destroy it. I suspect it's the latter, because I don't think that the Wall Street corporatists are going to let it go. And I think that we are maybe watching the last gasp during this election cycle, and that's the reason I believe that the Green Party's role ought to be not only to welcome Sanders supporters, but to also articulate a red, green, black view of how electoral politics, red for social justice and the great proud tradition of organized labor and socialism, green for deep ecology and the new vision that the Green Party has, and black, unapologetically, to describe our opposition to white supremacy and are to promote and lift up the need for black and brown liberation. And the Green Party should be the electoral arm of all of these movements.
I couldn't agree with you more.
David Kopp, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you when I get to Cleveland on Tuesday.
All right, man. Look me up. Good to hear your voice, Don.